I am thrilled. It's a little warm in here, but it's got that old time gospel meeting, tent meeting feel to it. So y'all get ready. We're going to have church today. We're going to have church, and we're going to fan. At least we don't have to swat flies, but we'll just be a little warm and here together, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Students at this time, go ahead and log into Quickly. Go ahead and, oh yeah, okay. But before I begin, I have to confess, being asked to speak here, as I've joked with some of you guys, felt like I've been called up to the big leagues. There's so many people here that I love and I respect and have had a part of getting me where I am, that when asked to speak today, the temptation to make it about me was unreal. The temptation to find words that were eloquent and to find a way to present the gospel in a way that I'll receive a pat on the back was unimaginable. To where I spent hours and hours and hours focusing on how I can impress you and make you more proud and all of those things, when in reality, and I know this and I know better, but in reality, it's all about Jesus. It's all about his word. And I want today, to, especially in this hour, to be solely focused on that relationship you have with him. Because if you get nothing else from what I say today, you have to understand that the relationship you have with Jesus is the most important thing you will ever have in your entire life. So if you would, I know we just prayed, but if you would indulge me, let's pray one more time. And the focus of this prayer being our hearts and minds being solely on glorifying God during this hour and growing closer to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be together. I pray that your word speaks today. I pray your word's able to prick hearts. I pray that your word is able to encourage. And I pray that your word is able to allow people to realize that the relationship with you is so important. And there's nothing in this world that's even close to it. We love you and we love your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Church, you were created to know and experience God and to be something amazing. Knowing Jesus is not about avoiding going to hell. It's not about that. Knowing Jesus is about living life to the fullest and being able to shine his light to every single person you come to know. Jesus made a way for you to have a deep and intimate relationship with him, a relationship where you hear his voice, a relationship where you're able to question him when things aren't going right in your life. You know, that's allowed, right? A relationship to where he can love the world through your voice, through your hands, and through your feet. He's given us this opportunity through the relationship with him. And you've been designed to be great. This relationship is available to you right now, and it is free of charge, though sometimes it can be difficult. Now, some people believe it's difficult because I don't know how this happens, but it happens to a lot of us, me included. We believe somehow, some way, that we have to earn this relationship with Jesus. We believe that somehow, some way, we have to pay him back for what he's given us. But I promise you, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Jesus doesn't need your money. Jesus doesn't need your attendance, your good behavior, your nice clothes, or your Facebook posts. Jesus solely needs, for a relationship with you, permission. He needs your permission to walk with him. And that's all he desires and needs for that relationship to get established and to get off the ground. But it is difficult. And it's difficult because sometimes when we have this relationship with Jesus, he requires us to let other relationships go. He requires us to stop doing certain things. He requires us to make him number one, and number one by a mile, not even close to anything else. We're able to see this lived out in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. This passage is clear and easy to understand. The actions speak for themselves. But I want to focus on what isn't directly said here. He says, "I want a relationship with you." He says, "Follow me." But what isn't said, but is implied, and we know does happen, is he says, "But I'm not here to compete. I'm Jesus, and a relationship with me is worth more than anything else in the world. So I'm not going to compete with anything because there is no competition. I need you to get up and leave your life behind and then come follow me. I don't want you to have any of that other stuff with you. Leave it behind and come follow me. I want you to come just as you are. In your lying, cheating, broken down, hot mess of a state, I want you to come just as you are. Leave that behind and love me. I want a relationship with you." In Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 27, Jesus doubles down on this statement and he makes it abundantly clear. "I don't compete. There is nothing else that's close." And he puts it as plain as it can possibly be. "If anyone comes to me and they want that relationship, yes, I'm glad you want that relationship. If anybody comes to me wanting a relationship with me, I am glad to have it. But if you come to me and you don't hate your father and your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me if you have these other things that are influencing you more than I do." Church, the relationship with Jesus is far more important than anything, and he says it himself. Imagine being somebody and people want to come follow you. For a simple man like me, a simple guy, if you want to be my friend, I say, "Hey, come on, I want all the friends I can take." Right? But not Jesus. He says, "Hey, I've got to be number one. More than your mother. More than your father. Parents, more than your children, more than your job, more than your influence, more than your big house, more than anything else, I've got to be number one." And that's why it's difficult. We're able to see in another passage, Luke chapter 18. Looking at verse 18, it says, "A certain ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered, 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You should not murder. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother.' 'All of these I've kept since I was a boy,' he said. But I want you to notice what happens in verse 22. Jesus says, when he heard this, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven.' Then," he uses the same words, "'then come follow me.'" Jesus is saying, "I love you." Jesus is saying to this young man, I care about you and I want a relationship with you, but you already have a number one. I see it. You already have a number one. It's your wealth. It's your possessions. It's your influence. It's the pats on the back that you get from the people around you that think you are so awesome. You already have a number one. But again, I want this relationship with you. So I'm telling you, you go sell all of that stuff, get rid of it, and then come have this relationship with me, and we can get to work. I promise you, what I have to offer you is far more than any of that stuff. Leave it behind. Come follow me. I'm worth it." In verse 23, it says, "When he heard this, he became very sad." Became very sad. And this is something that I hadn't noticed before. If you look at verse 24, it says Jesus looked at him. Imagine that moment, saying, "No, Jesus, I don't want a relationship with you because I can't leave that stuff behind." And Jesus looking at you, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and saying, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" Like, when I look at it this way, I can hear the disappointment in Jesus' voice. This is not a declaration how hard it is for the rich to enter. His heart is broken because he sees just how difficult it is for this person with these possessions to let them go and to make him number one. Then something happens in verse 26. Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" And I want you to remember this question because Jesus answers this in part two of this story. You guys realize this is just part one, but there is a part two that we go to where this whole thing puts a bow on it and Jesus is able to say, this is how it's done. Watch this. So in verse 27, Jesus replies, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter says to him, "We have left all we have to follow you." And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left his home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." But you realize this isn't the end of the story. In the very next chapter, all right, we just met a rich man who couldn't let go of his possessions. But in the very next chapter, we meet a short fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? A rich man who had gained possessions through cheating folks and being a tax collector. And most of you know the story, but in case you don't, if you look at verse 5, do I have it in there? Ooh, I got verse 8. But anyway, it starts in verse 5 where I want to start reading. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And in verse 8, we see the most amazing thing happen. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." And Jesus answers the question that was asked earlier. Who then can be saved? He answers it right here in verse 9. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Today this person realized, "I'm worth more than his money." He realized, "I'm worth more than his possessions." And he gladly gave it up. He gladly gave it up. And this is how I feel this morning. And white folks, I'm not mad. I'm black. So I just get excited. He gives up everything because he knows there's nothing on this earth worth more than a relationship with Jesus. He says, "You can take my status. Take it away. You can take my friends. You can take my money. You can take anything in this world that's stopping me from having a relationship with you, Lord. Take it away." And I say the same thing this morning. I love the possessions that I have, and I love the people in my life. But if you are hindering my relationship with Jesus, you can hit the road. I pray at night, "Lord, if there's anything hindering my relationship with you, take it away." And that's a scary prayer, y'all, because I kind of like money. I kind of like it a lot. I don't like money. I like what money can get me. And I kind of like walking around and people saying, "TJ, great job. Man, I really like that." And I like being able to put on a suit and look good. I like being able to have children that are healthy and happy. I like having a beautiful spouse. I like having all of those things. But I mean it with all of my heart. If any of those things ever gets in the way of my relationship with Jesus and all he brings, they can hit the road. Do you feel that way this morning? I mean, really ask. Is there anything in your life more important than a relationship with Jesus? Some of you, this is be a pretty difficult thing. I want to talk to the college kids for a second. And I want you to think about something. Some of you guys have in your phone phone numbers of guys and girls, guys or girls, that need to be deleted. And those numbers need to be deleted because whenever that phone number appears on your phone and that individual says, hey, let's hang out, that thing you said you don't ever want to happen again, it happens. And even though you promise yourself, you know what, I'm never going to do it again, I'm never going to fall into that trap again, you do. And when you do, it leads to depression, it leads to feeling guilty, it leads to all of those things. But I'm telling you, with all the sincerity in my heart, and there's a whole lot of grown folks in here that will amen this, your walk with Jesus will never be what it can be as long as you hold on to that relationship. You've got to let it go. And I know you don't want to. I know how that person makes you feel. But he or she is not worth your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's not someone in your Rolodex. Maybe while you're here on campus, your walk with Jesus, your relationship with him is great. But it's when you go home and it's those old friends from high school and you have those relationships. And when you go home, your walk with Jesus gets strained and it gets tested. Can you let those relationships go? Because I assure you, as long as you continue to fall into that cycle of going back home and falling in with that crowd and doing the things that you used to do and having that relationship, you can never truly have a solid relationship with Jesus. I'm going to talk to the grown folks for a second. There's some phone numbers you need to delete too. Because every time that person calls and you get on the phone, all you do is gossip. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Cycle. We don't have no gossips here at Henderson. I forgot I've been called up to the big leagues, to the real Christians here. Nobody gossips here. And fellas, you think I'm just talking to the women. I'm not. Fellas, you know you want the tea too. As soon as she gets off the phone, what she say? He did it again? Girl. We laugh. But it's the truth. Jesus requires that he is absolutely number one in our life. Do you have a relationship that is hindering that? And I'm trying to be as real as possible. Because there's nothing on this earth that's worth your soul. When asked to come speak here this morning, man, I was so stressed about the words and putting it the right way and being exposed of not being as good as people say that I am and all of that stuff. But God's word speaks for itself. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that I don't compete. And I fear that in my life, there are often times that I want to have one foot in what I want to do and one foot in what Jesus wants to do. But that doesn't work for Jesus. It doesn't work. The relationship is available and it's free. And it only requires your permission. It only requires your open heart. It only requires your willingness to let other relationships go that strive to be the greatest influence in your life. Remember, Jesus doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your status. He doesn't need your clothes. He doesn't need any of that stuff. He just needs your permission. Are you willing and able to give that to him this morning? Are you willing and able to walk away? Folks who have been Christians for a long time, are you willing to examine yourself to see if really you have given yourself solely to him? Or you've been playing both sides? I don't know. I struggle. And right now I'm in that in-between where I have stuff on my heart that I wanted to say, but I said, you know what, I'm not going to go there this morning, but I want to go there. But I don't know if I should. Should I do it? Man, all right. Soko said it's okay. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was cut ties with somebody that I love. To look at them and say, I can't be with you because you're not good for me. And I'm chickening out because I wanted to go into it, but honestly, I'm just not ready to go into those details. But even though it was hard, I had to do it. Y'all know the story of Jonah. Amen. Y'all know the story. Jonah is on this boat, right? And because he's on this boat, storms come his way. Now, what I want you to realize is, oh, I've got the lapel on, I can walk. Man, 10 o'clock's gonna be something. So he's on this boat. And you got all these other people on this boat too. And I want you to realize something that doesn't necessarily jump out to me with this situation. But these people are catching a storm that's Jonah's fault. Y'all with me? These people hadn't done anything, but because of their association, because they're in the boat with Jonah, y'all gonna make me preach this morning now. Because they're in the boat with Jonah, they're catching his storm. Now, we know how the story goes, right? First of all, think about this, and this will really get you. As they're running around panicked, trying to save the ship, what's Jonah doing? What's he doing? He's knocked out at the bottom. He's not even stressed. Everybody else is trying to fix his mess, and he's sleeping. Have y'all ever been in a relationship like that? Everybody has that cousin, right? Everybody has that cousin that, hey, just being around causes mess and drama, and everybody has to fix it, and they're the least stressed person in the family. And they're causing all the stress for everybody else. Anyway, y'all know who it is, and if you don't, I'm just saying. If you don't have that guy in the family, stop stressing people out. But what happens here is all of these people are trying to figure out what's going on, and Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat. It isn't until, and this is going to sound awful, but it's the truth. It isn't until they kicked him out of the boat that the storm ceased. And remember, he said, you guys got to kick me out. And they're like, no, let's do this. No, let's try this. They didn't want to let him go. They didn't want to cut him loose. They didn't want to kick him out. But they got to a point where they said, we've got no other option. You've got to go. And when they finally let him go, that's when they found peace. I use that to illustrate a simple point. There's going to be people. There's probably somebody right now in this room in the midst of a storm that's not their fault. And it's because you keep holding on to a relationship you need to let go. And Jesus is telling you, you need to let go of this. Choose him. Don't allow anything to have a greater influence on you than him. Let go of the boys and the girls that keep pulling you away. Let go of the friends at home who keep on pulling you back into drinking and pulling you back into those old habits. Let go of them. Let go of the women that keep calling you to gossip. Let go of all of that stuff and allow Jesus to be number one in your life. I was asked to go 45, but I'm 15 short. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you, while you're in this room, for the remaining 15, to find someone that you haven't met before and genuinely start a relationship, start a conversation, because that's going to lead into our 10 o'clock lesson in finding relationships amongst us church folk. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning, to be able to open your word, and to be reminded of the fact that a relationship with you is more important than anything else in this entire world. To be reminded that a relationship with you outweighs everything else. And Lord, it doesn't matter if it's our mother or father or children, our best friend, our boyfriend, girlfriend, or even our spouse. It does not matter, Lord. You come first. Please allow those to be more than just words we say, but actions that come from our heart and show you our true, genuine feelings towards you. And our desire to have that relationship. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Go find somebody. Start that relationship and go.